Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. Ours is talking to Sal, no matter what. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Sal just got the tweet shout out from Jerry O'Connell. I saw
Jerry O'Connell, man.
Right, you're watching Stand By Me last night.
Yeah, so you know how it works, right? You're watching a movie and you're like, I wonder what happened to some of these people. I know River Phoenix passed away, and I'm looking at John Cusack. I'm like, boy, John Cusack in this movie, yeah. So it's one of my favorite all time movies, you know, but I haven't watched it in a while. And I'm like, oh, and then I look at the cast, and I'm like, wait a minute, Vern is the same guy that played in Can't Hardly Wait as Trip McNeely? What are you talking about? So I tweeted that out, and I'm like, I cannot believe it. I'm like blown away that this is the same person. His name is Jerry O'Connell. And I didn't even tag him. And I wake up this morning, and the actor Jerry O'Connell quote tweeted my tweet and said, "Believe that." And then he said, "Sorry, Sal, about your team on Sunday. It will make you stronger." And I'm like, that's a cool tweet. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Trip McNeely. Anyway, it's just kind of funny. Like, the world is responding to Buffalo. I want to say, Sal, it's different than previous heartbreaking losses. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. They haven't had a real big, huge heartbreaker maybe in a while around here. We haven't, I should say. Like, Houston is a little bit of one. But it seems like the general reaction, and Howard and I talked about, we both went on radio stations around the country, is more of a, man, that one, that's a real tough one, but your team is awesome. You know, that seems to be the general response.
Yeah, I agree. There was someone, I don't know, yesterday someone called Chopin the Bulldog and basically said, like, the entire country is talking about, like, the coaching in the last 13 seconds. And Mike's like, well, we are here, you know, and I don't know that there are people, but it's not like the entire country. The entire country is kind of talking about how great of a game it was more than anything, right? And you know, I think there are a lot of people talking about the coaching. On the way back from the airport, I was trying to peek into some of the shows like ESPN, like Ryan Clark was all talking about it. They were doing it in the studios. But I think that you're right, Jeremy. I mean, the general consensus is, okay, but these guys are going to be here for a long time. Like, and it's coupled with, oh, my God, look at this kid, Josh Allen. Look at Mahomes. And now you have Burrow and Herbert as well in the AFC. And who knows, you know, what else is going to happen with some other quarterbacks. But I think that's been a part of the talk, too, which is, boy, this Bills team is not going anywhere because of 17. That they're going to be here for a long time. And this AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. That has been a very big talking point, yes.
I want to ask a loaded question a little bit about Mac Jones. But, you know, Mac Jones goes the first round. He had a really nice rookie season. Do you think the talk about Mac Jones for a first-round pick or whatever is different if he comes out this year? Because it's another year of super athletic quarterbacks, and then you see a game like that. Like I've seen a couple of the younger quarterbacks getting, you know, shade thrown their way, like Tua Tagovailoa, a couple others, like, man, imagine trying to compete with these guys. And, you know, for Mac Jones to try and do it long-term, you know, he's going to need an awful lot of help, of course. It's seeing the talent at the top kind of makes everybody else look at their quarterbacks and say, like, I'm going to wonder about this guy, you know?
Yeah, what are you asking, though? But
all right, here's a better way to say it. How quickly has this all happened, by the way, where a guy that doesn't run and doesn't seem super athletic is off the table? If you don't do that, you're almost off the table. That's what makes Mac Jones' selection in the first round a bit of a surprise or whatever. He's the fifth guy to go. The position has changed very quickly.
Yeah, it has. It has. I think that's right, Jeremy, where when you look at, I mean, even Mahomes, he can move. We know that. He's athletic. He's not Josh Allen, right? But he's athletic back there. When you look at some of these guys and you say, like, yeah, these guys, they're so unique. This is exactly, if you could go into the lab and build what you want in a quarterback in today's NFL, you come out and you look, you have a guy that looks like Josh Allen and could do those things, right? Look at Justin Fields and, you know, who knows where that goes, but people really love, you know, his athleticism and what he can do. And, yeah, I think it holds back. If you're gonna rank quarterbacks just, you know, where you think they fall, I think that matters greatly to, well, this guy can't do that other stuff. He might be able to sit in the pocket and throw spirals and be accurate, but he can't do those other things, and you need to do those other things. I even think about Trey Lance for this, right? Like, because actually Garoppolo, sure, I mean, he can move around, but he's not these guys either. And yet he's still kind of holding on and winning games. But they kind of can't wait to get to Trey Lance, right? Let's be honest, right? They really can't wait to get to Trey Lance. As good as well as Garoppolo's played for them, like, that's the future. We know where this lies. We can't win consistently every year with that. As nice as a season it's been, and people really like him, we gotta have the other guy. So, yeah, it has happened very, very quickly. The NFL, it's figured it out. But how quickly has it happened that you see all these younger coaches and the fourth down stuff and things like that? It kind of, like, it took a while, and then suddenly, bam, overnight it became a really, really big change.
And another side effect of this, I saw this also, that, you know, Josh Allen's ascendancy to where he is going to lead a lot of teams to hold out hope that their guy can have a similar trajectory. And, you know, it might not be all that likely for everybody, because it might not have been that likely for Josh, but of course he's earned his way into the upper echelon with that progression.
Jeremy, I'll tell you this. I mean, you go back even last year, I think. I remember a lot of people thinking, going in from last year to this year, from 20 to 2021, and how many people said that. Like, well, look at the jump Josh Allen made, and our guy can do that. He was always kind of the comparable. After Josh had his runner-up MVP season last year, so much talk about young quarterbacks, and whether it's Daniel Jones or Tua, yeah, from year one to year two, granted, or someone else, like, oh, look at this jump that Josh made, and it's kind of like, well, our guy can do that. And how many times this year, I get it, I see it, I get my friends who send me, my buddy who's a Patriots fan, send me a screenshot of Josh's rookie year stats.
Yeah,
right?
Saw one for Jalen Hurts. Well, look at his first 19 starts for Allen's first 19 starts.
Right.
You know, like,
he's like, he is the control. He is the comparable for everyone.
Yep.
But it's so unfair to those other people. It is so unfair to Mac Jones. It is so unfair to Jalen Hurts or Tua to do that. Josh is a unicorn. He is completely unique. Josh Allen, as I've tried to explain to all these people who say this, and they bring me on radio and they ask, and I go, look, this kid came into the league already having to bridge that gap for these other guys that were ahead of him. He did not go to all the Elite 11 camps. He didn't go to a big school. He wasn't highly recruited. He didn't play in a national stage. He didn't go to the Rose Bowl and was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year like Sam Darnold. He didn't do all that. So he already came in the league so raw. He had to take that leap just to catch up to them to begin with. They're already coming in the league seasoned. Like, it is unfair to compare them because he had to make that jump to start with.
Sal with us here on the Western Hotline. Going to get to calls here in a moment. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Sal, you know, every now and then we have to read between lines or read into comments or read into non-comments. So yesterday with Sean McDermott, the kickoff and the two defensive plays came up numerous times in questions, and pretty much the standard answer was it came down to a lack of execution, and that was pretty much all he had to say about it. So let's kind of get your opinion on what you think happened or what you could possibly glean from those remarks. Let's start with the kickoff, because I think that's a little easier than the two defensive plays. If I hear someone tell me lack of execution, then someone made a mistake that wasn't supposed to be kicked through the end zone, right?
I think I'd stop short of Yes. I'm sorry, Howard. I think that's correct. I don't think it has to be on the player. It has to be on the
right.
kicker.
Right.
This is the issue I have with, like, we're all in the same boat here. We're trying to interpret what Sean McDermott's saying.
Yeah.
And we all know that Sean is not going to throw people under the bus. That's the way he is. And I think his organization, his players, his coaches, they appreciate that, right? I mean, that's the way he is. That's the way he always will be. However, with that comes what we're doing in a lot of interpretation, that suddenly now we are going to point fingers and say, this is what he means, that's what he means. And yesterday he used the word execution a lot. So in a general sense on all these things, but yes, on the kickoff he said this. I think there's a lot of people pointing right to, well, execution means players. Anytime you talk about execution, it means players. I would stop short of that and say, I understand, and it could very well be, but Sean McDermott uses the word execution a lot in a general sense to encompass a lot of areas. And he could very well be speaking of the execution of the process from coach to coach or coach to player, mm-hmm. whatever that is. I would not automatically assume he means the player did something wrong or the players did something wrong. He could. I'm not saying he doesn't either. But yes, clearly it seems like, to me, to say that specifically about the kickoff, that wasn't necessarily the plan to do what they did. All right? And whether that plan got screwed up from him to Heath Farwell or Heath Farwell to Tyler Bass or simply by Tyler Bass, I think that's still the question. We still don't know that.
So having said that then, okay, let me transition over to the defense again. It wouldn't necessarily be the coverage was wrong or somebody might have messed up on the field. It could also, again, have been some kind of communication on the sideline between him and Frazier, I guess.
It could have been. I have more of a, like, an issue with thinking that here because they called timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they called timeout and got the same look, essentially, and they still lined up like that. Or yeah. Maybe they changed up just a tiny bit, like where maybe the depth of some people were. But so I don't know if it's communication in that one. It could be. Again, this is what we're doing. It's open to interpretation. That could even be the execution of how we discussed for many times over and over how we would play that situation, and we didn't play it that way. Or it could be the execution of someone lining up wrong. It's so hard. And I'm sorry to fans because we don't know, and we're not getting the answers, and he's not going to give them to us the way we want them because he's not going to specifically point out. So this is a hard exercise for all of us to do, and right. We're going to sit here wondering until someone finds out and digs deeper, and maybe another reporter, maybe someone else is going to find out, maybe nationally, whoever, in the next few days, maybe in the next few weeks, maybe a year from now we find out. You know what I mean? It's hard to know. We just don't know.
803-0550 to join us. We get connected with our fans. Walter, you're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Good.
Sure.
It's been a busy week for you guys. I've been trying to get through, and a lot of fans calling in. I just have a couple of comments, and like to hear your response. First of all, I got to admit, like, Josh Allen's a class act. Not just for his play on the field, which was phenomenal, but after his comments, you know, when he said, oh, you know, I think he said either we or I have to be better. And I'm thinking, you know, for heaven's sakes, how much better can he possibly be? I mean, you know, is this, and then he didn't want to get into the overtime rules, you know, just real class act. You know, he goes, hey, that's the rule and that's what we play with. But I like McDermott. He's done extremely well. I just don't know if the moment gets to be too big for him, not just Sunday's game, but even initially in the Houston game. I think that was a winnable game for us, and it didn't happen. What would you guys think about bringing in somebody like Sean Payton to coach? I mean, a proven winner. I mean, if he can do with Josh what he did with Breeze, I mean, the sky's the limit.
To coach what? To be the head coach?
Yeah.
No, the Bills aren't moving on from Sean McDermott, and I would not recommend the Bills move on from Sean McDermott. And, I mean, he may have made a mistake. Is that am I, Walter, interpreting you correctly here? Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant.
No,
yeah.
No, that's not happening, and I wouldn't recommend it happening.
No, Sean Payton, you know, Sean Payton's a great hire, for sure. Maybe the best hire in the NFL since Belichick. He was in New Orleans for a long time. He also won one Super Bowl in 15 seasons.
With one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Right. I mean, like, I know he's got that one Super Bowl. He got it in year four. I mean, if you give Sean McDermott 15 years, will he get one? You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, Sal. This is how things happen, where you make a mistake in a big moment, and I think it gets too big for him. Or he just made a mistake in a big moment, or somebody else made a mistake, and he's taken ownership of that mistake. The idea that these moments are too big for Sean McDermott, his team was big enough to take the lead with 13 seconds left and have a 96% win percentage on the road in Arrowhead. Right. Like, I don't see any reason to think that moments get too big for him. What happens is you face other teams, other coaches, other quarterbacks that are also amazing in big moments, like Mahomes and Andy Reid and Deshaun Watson bailing him out on, you know, 4th-and-13 or whatever it was. Like, you get to the top, you play the best.
That, to me, it boils down to a very simple thing. They can't beat Kansas City in the playoffs yet. The moment wasn't too big last year against the Colts. It wasn't too big in last year's divisional round against Baltimore. It wasn't too big against the Patriots in the wild card game. They've had two losses the last 2 years against Kansas City, and their quarterback is outstanding. I mean, he can't beat Andy Reid in the playoffs, if you really wanted to boil it down to. I don't think it's the moment. It's actually they should have beaten them this year in the playoffs. Right. It's they can't beat Kansas City in the playoffs.
So far, the only way to beat Kansas City in the playoffs is, again, to have Patrick Mahomes have a broken foot. I'm just going to keep saying that.
That's
the only,
yeah.
It's the only reason the Bucs beat him last year.
I like my chances against Chad Henne.
I mean, I think line and a broken foot.
I know there are people out there who've like called the station or feel like, oh my God, like the head coach blew it, this fireable fence, whatever. Okay, I think that's an extreme reaction. I also think it's in the minority, and I'm glad that Bills fans for the most part are not doing that. Sean McDermott and the Bills coaching staff, they've been good. They've made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. There are times when you can get to that. If this has been, if this is Marvin Lewis after 7 years and one and dones, and this happens, it's a different discussion, right? I mean, those things do happen. Those things do come up. I think, and for me, Sean McDermott has earned enough credit and goodwill in this organization and what he's done over the body of work to not get to something like that, what Walter just suggested. As
no,
good of another coach might be out there. I'll even say the same thing about Leslie Frazier. Like, I understand that this is a complete failure that happened, and a lot of times these things are fireable offenses, if you will. Bruce DeHaven was fired after home run throwback. Let's remember that, all right? Bruce DeHaven was a great special teams coach. I'm not there. I'm not going to get there with Leslie Frazier. I think that there were mistakes made. Someone screwed up. I don't think that should completely wash out the last 5 years of what these people did in this organization. Like, these things do happen, and they stink. And you're left wondering, and people want to scapegoat and point fingers. I think those kinds of things are way overreactions for these people after the other things that they've done up to this point.
Andy Reid had a lifetime of coaching another team that didn't make it through, and I'm sure Eagles fans would have said, yeah, well, he probably can't get you all the way there, and now he's just fine getting teams all the way there. Sal, the other thing I would say—
By the way, let me give one example where it really was the case, though. Tony Dungy was fired in Tampa after the same thing.
Yeah.
They bring in John Gruden, he wins, but you know what Tony Dungy did? Went to Indy and won a Super Bowl still.
Right, yep. Right, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. The other thing, as you're saying all that about McDermott, Sal, I think in a lot of cases like yesterday's press conference, what fans want to know, what I care about, is like you want to know that the coach cares as much as you do, or a player cares as much as you do, because fans care obviously a lot. And when the players show they care, whether it's being good teammates or giving to the community or however you invest, the idea that you invest in the team and you care just like you're a member of the family that is the fan base. And I think with McDermott, in his public press conferences, he's going to strike the notes that he thinks are important to strike with his team, with his coaching staff. He's not going to come out and just say, it's this guy's fault, blah, blah, blah. But behind the scenes, like if there's anybody out there that wonders how mad he is about this or how upset they are, like it is going to just like eat them up. I mean, maybe it goes without saying for a lot of coaches, but I just, you know, we've talked about McDermott is ultra competitive. To have gotten to that moment and have something go wrong is going to continue to motivate him, keep him motivated, burn him, whatever you want to say. I don't think there's any, oh, well, you know, sometimes bad things happen. He is going to obsess. I would think he would obsess over fixing it and making sure it never happens again.
One of the things, Sal, real quick, one of the things that stuck with me, Jeremy and Sal, was when he said something to the effect of, this is going to be in my gut for years. I don't think he says that just because the fans are going to want to hear that from their coach. I mean, that's how we feel, right? This thing's going to be in your gut for years, unless maybe they win a Super Bowl next season. I'll feel better. But I thought when he said that, like, that's that burning. I mean, coaches, right? Coaches want to win. Coaches live and die with this stuff too. And him talking about how he's replayed it, he's watched it, he's thought about it a million times already, and it's going to be in my gut for years. To me, that struck me. That stood out to me.
Yeah, you know, I asked him too about fans in general, like, they have jobs to go to. They go on with their lives. Yeah, it's going to take a long time to get over. We'll always talk about it. It hurts. There's no doubt about it. But this is their livelihood. This is what they do for a living.
Right.
But how do you go on? I asked Harrison Phillips that question. He said, you got to be careful. Like, these are kinds of things that could, you know, really take a toll on you mentally. You could go into a depression, things like that. This is your life. This is what you do for a living every day, what you work your whole career for. And Sean's response was, yeah, this is what we sign up for, though. Like, you know, this comes with the territory, and you have to do your best to dig through it, to get over it, and, you know, figure out a way to learn from it and make you better. Yeah, it was interesting yesterday. We're going to hear from Brandon Bean today, too, so everybody knows. 1 o'clock today is when he's going to address the media. That will be an in-person, not a Zoom.
And we will have that live here on WGR during One Bills Live.
Okay.
All right, sir. Stay by your beeper. You know, we'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks. I had one of those back then.
Did you?
You probably did too, yeah.
I did. I did have a pager. I had a pager and a cell phone that was the size of a shoe, basically, at one point. So, yes. Wonderful. All right, Sal, thank you.
All right, see ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.